Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
So let's rock it!
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIBC.
You know, Hammer, I think it's hilarious. Also, at the same time, sad. Our president of the United States, Joe Biden, said, quote, "Don't," when it came to Iran attacking Israel and sending over the 300 drones, and Iran was humiliated because Israel shot down all 300 of those suicide drones and missiles. And then Joe Biden whips around and tells Israel, "Don't," in terms of a response, and they did. They it was a limited attack last night, and they took out an air base. It was kind of next to a nuclear site in Iran. They did.
So first of all, your Biden impression is way too coherent. Even though there's an audible grunt followed by just one word, it's still way too coherent.
You're right. I need to work on it.
But everything that, quote, experts are saying about last night was this was a limited attack.
It was a demonstration that they could get into their air defenses at will. They got the air base in Iran, which happens to be kind of next door to one of those nuclear sites in the same area. So what's that message say? Hey, we decided not to hit your nuke sites this time, but we could have done worse, and you know it.
We know where they're at, and you can't stop us moving forward. So now the question becomes, is everybody cool? Like, is everybody even now?
No.
Because Iran sent this really weak, you know, attack at Israel. It was drones, a few missiles, but they telegraphed the whole thing. Everybody knew what was coming. It was purely for propaganda purposes for Iran. And in response, Israel, whose military is a badass, kind of does a, I don't want to say, half rear-ended attack at Iran.
It was limited,
but it sent a message. So is everybody even? Is everybody cool? Or is this a prelude to something bigger? And that's the question. Are we going to start seeing some of these proxy groups affiliated with the Iranians starting to make a little bit noise?
Well, that's the thing. Iran's backing down. They have already signaled the intent not to respond, and they're lying and claiming the Israelis weren't even there in the first place. It was some sort of internal attack, internal explosion. So they're already denying that Israel had anything to do with it. And boy, yeah, you're right. It's going to go back to proxies. It's going to go back to Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah. And those two proxies aren't doing very well right now either.
Aaron Cohen is a former Israeli special ops vet. He jumped on Fox News last night as this was all breaking down to talk about what's next for some of these proxy groups, the BFF of Iran.
So this is the MO of the IRGC. They're gonna gas up all their proxies. First of all, Israel's been dealing with Hezbollah for like 20 years. They were in southern Lebanon for several years. This is back in my day in the 90s, ended up pulling out. Hezbollah has always been a constant threat on the northern border. We're just seeing more of it ramped up since October 7th, since October 8th. So we're going to see more of that coming from that southern border of Lebanon into Israel. This again, that's that multi-360 type of attack with Israel's back into the ocean. So that's definitely a threat. It's a concern. So Israel's got to keep an eye on the northern part of its border up there, where 80,000, 100,000 citizens have been displaced since October 7th, since the war started.
And of course, the Iranian state-run media, they're basically treating this like a win. They're telling their people, listen, all those explosions you may have seen, that was us shooting down the things coming in.
Okay.
So this is really about propaganda for Iran. There's a lot of similarities between what Iran is doing now to what Fat Boy was doing with North Korea for a while. They want to be viewed as players on the national stage, so they're going to make as much noise as they can. They're going to use their state-run media to brainwash their people. And now the question is, what's next? Let's transition to what's happening here in the United States, we're going to check in with a certain president. We're going to check in with a man that's running again. We're going to check in with wheeling, dealing, hair-sniffing, kiss-stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs.
I lost my Johnson. On track to cut First Lady in half.
Nige, we got a lot of problems in this country.
No, you don't say.
I still think we're the greatest country on earth, but we've got issues. We've got high inflation. We've got crime. We've got a wide open border. But Joe Biden yesterday was very upset about something else. He was very upset that little kids give him the finger.
I never thought I'd see a time when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or Senate to see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F. Biden, and having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Well, I promise it happens all the time.
It happens all the time, Nige.
So what does that say? It's like he's shocked. There's actually people in rural America that don't like me? F. Joe Biden?
Sounds like those areas have good parents to me, but...
Yeah. I don't know. If you let your seven-year-old flip off the president of the United States, I'm on the edge on that. I'm toeing a line there. I think I'm putting my foot down and saying, kid, put your finger away.
You've never been to Philadelphia, have you?
No, I've never been to Philly.
The people that booed Santa Claus when he showed up at a football game, they've got little kids that will do worse than that when visiting players come in to play one of their teams. It is what it is, right? If Joe Biden is so concerned about what little kids are doing, that tells you everything you need to know about Joe Biden. He's softer than a baby's backside. Now, while on the campaign trail yesterday, he did what he does best, speak gibberish. Which brings us to another edition of The Gibberish Man.
And now, time for another conversation with Gibberish Man.
He's the gibberish man, he's the gibberish man. He talks in gibberish, gibberish man. Oh, you can't understand the gibberish man, because he talks in gibberish, gibberish man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gibberish Man.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products. Further products. Further products. Further products.
No, you can't understand the gibberish man, because he talks in gibberish, gibberish man.
I am in no way, shape, or form going to twist myself into a pretzel and try to interpret what he was trying to get across in that speech. Do you have any idea?
Well, lucky for you, I've got the official transcript that the White House provides. I'm going to hand this to producer Allison. Allison, I would like for you to read just plain, just dry, the transcript that the White House provided.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
Now do you understand, Nige?
No.
Thursday.
No, actually, I don't.
What if producer Allison read it along with Joe Biden?
That might help.
Great.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
Now I get it. Crystal clear.
He's exporting products.
Right. What's so hard to understand?
Oh, I'm the dumb one. Okay.
Listen,
fine.
If you don't understand what further products are, then I don't know what to tell you. By the way, you can purchase your Gibberish Man t-shirt at the Hammer and Nigel Show store. Store.hammerandnigel.com.
I saw there's a bunch of new t-shirts up there.
There's a Gibberish Man t-shirt. We've got stuff about the month of May in Indy, a new patriotic line, George freaking Washington, a 1776 shirt. I think that's my favorite new shirt that's out there.
No, I like the Indian May, the fast cars, cold beer, tasteful nudes. That's a great logo. That's fantastic.
So check it out right now, store.hammerandnigel.com. We've got it on our Facebook and our Twitter.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. all hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIPC.
My name is Nigel. Hammer's here. It is the Hammer and Nigel Show. Let's not waste any time and get to the WIBC hotline where we'll bring on Breitbart News Washington Bureau Chief, one of the best, Matt Boyle, one of our favorite guests. Matt, happy Friday. How are you, man?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good. I heard you last Saturday on your radio show, your weekly show. Just absolutely apoplectic, the House Speaker Mike Johnson. And I can imagine what you're feeling right now after he basically surrendered floor control to the House to the Democrats. And we'll get to that because that's important, isn't it? I mean, that's this topic right here is one that's under the radar, and Americans should be made aware of what's going on in the House right now. It seems like everything's getting overshadowed by this Trump, quote unquote, hush money trial. So we'll begin there. The 12 jurors seated for Donald Trump's trial. I don't like saying hush money trial, by the way, Matt, because it sounds like a shady, you know, envelope under the table deal. This was like a signed legal non-disclosure agreement. It was a document. It's a legitimate document for her to keep her mouth shut, and she didn't, and Trump should actually sue her. So now they're saying Trump paid off Stormy Daniels as a campaign expense, violating federal campaign laws. How do you see this trial? What are your thoughts, and where does it go from here?
Yeah, look, I think that every day that Donald Trump spends in New York City, he's going up in the polls in New York, right? Yeah. Like, so my view is that the Democrats realize they made a mistake when they did this. And I feel like they're trying to wrap it up as fast as they can because they don't want to admit they made a mistake, so they have to see the process through. But it does seem like things are moving pretty quickly. We were hearing reports at the beginning of this whole thing that voir dire could take weeks, right? It could be until May before there's a jury seated and blah, 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 blah. They wrapped it up in like 3 days, right? Like, so they realize that Donald Trump is then, you know, after he spends all day at court, he's going to things like the bodega at night. And if anything, he's making a dent in Joe Biden's control of New York State, which is a deep blue state, the Empire State. If Donald Trump wins New York, the election's over. So I think that this is backfiring bad on the Democrats. They know that this case, even if they were to achieve a conviction, I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. I think we could end up with a hung jury, depending, based off what we've seen about these jurors that have been seated, and they might have set it up that way in that regard, right? Because they realized that this was a mistake to do this lawfare. But the fact is that even if they do get a conviction, this will absolutely 100% be overturned on appeal. Take it to the bank. This is, you know, so even if they get their headline, Donald Trump convicted felon, yeah, right, it will be overturned, right? Like, Donald Trump is not going to be a convicted felon, right? Like, so this is not going to happen. Their fever dreams are not working. So I think that whole situation is backfiring on the Democrats, frankly, it's not working out so well for them.
But so you're saying, in effect, even if Trump can't get a fair trial in a county where Biden got like 85% and the judge donated to anti-Republican causes and Joe Biden's campaign, even so, this could turn out to be a good thing for Donald Trump?
Yeah, because I think that it shows that the Democrats are desperate,
yes,
right? Like,
yes,
they're engaged in these desperation lawfare tactics. I spoke with Senator Tim Scott last week. He was saying, or earlier this week, he was saying that he thinks that this is only helping Trump and the black community, right? Like, and, you know, obviously black voters, especially young black men, understand concerns about the justice system and have issues with it. And they are moving more and more towards Donald Trump in record numbers. We're talking about, several 100% increase for Donald Trump among young black men voters, and even black women, too. So what's happening here here is that the Democrats, coalition that they depend on, which is they need like 90% of the black vote to win an election nationally. That's not going to happen for them this time, right? Like, and the more and more that they keep doing this and they keep dragging Trump through these nonsensical things for political purposes, I think the more they lose people like that. And again, the more time that Trump spends in New York, right? He just announced a campaign rally in May in New Jersey, right? Like, this is not looking good for them.
All right, we're speaking with Matt Boyle, Breitbart's Washington bureau chief. Let's move. Like I said, this is a distraction, too. I mean, the Democrats are concentrating on this because they don't want you to pay attention to grocery store prices, the southern border, disastrous foreign policy. And never Trump Republicans probably want you to concentrate on this whole thing, too. When what's going down with the House right now and Speaker Mike Johnson, I'm looking at this headline on Breitbart.com right now. House votes to advance foreign aid bills. 165 Dems back Johnson's measure. Speaker surrenders floor control. What is going on in the House right now, Matt?
Yeah, there is no longer a Republican majority in the House of Representatives. It's over. Speaker Johnson has now nullified the midterm election where Republicans took the majority in the House. This is the first time in history that a supposedly majority party with a supposedly majority rule has relied on minority votes to pass the rule, and both out of committee and on the floor of the House to advance the measure. This has never happened before in recorded history, right? Recorded history of these things of each individual rule committee vote and floor votes goes back to 1995, but we've looked for centuries back. We can't find an example of this, right? Like the rules committee and the rules process are usually a partisan thing. The majority party carries the rule, right? Like, and that sets the tone for what is going to be happening on the floor. How is the debate on a legislation going to be had? Which amendments are germane? Which ones are not? They did not have enough Republican votes to pass it. So Speaker Johnson had to cut a power-sharing agreement to surrender control of the House of Representatives over to Hakeem Jeffries. Now, Hakeem Jeffries is the co-speaker of the House.
Incredible.
The Democrats have operational control of the floor, and the Republicans have lost control.
Where did all this start? I mean, I thought, you know, Speaker Johnson was the guy. After they ousted Kevin McCarthy, they all voted on this guy. He was a good conservative Christian Republican. Where did all this start to turn for people like Massey, Representative Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Well, I think that part of it is, first off, the claim that he's a good Christian conservative. I mean, remember Paul Ryan tried the same shtick, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
No, like, that's nonsense. They are all power-craven, you know, monsters, right?
Point, like, point taken, so, point taken.
But the fact is that with regard to Johnson, he made a number of mistakes in the beginning of his speakership that are now coming to fruition. So the person he hired, we did a big story about this the other day on Breitbart, and I can tell you right now, the speaker is aware of the story. He has refused to do anything about it. But the fact is that his top policy advisor is this man named Dan Ziegler. Dan Ziegler worked for Mike Johnson when Mike Johnson was the chair of the Republican Study Committee a few years ago. And then when he left that job, he cashed out. He went to a lobbying firm called Williams & Jensen. This lobbying firm, among the clients that Dan Ziegler had were a number of different pharmaceutical companies like Pfizer, Merck, Eli Lilly. In addition to that, he had major financial services companies like Visa. He had companies, energy companies like Bloom Energy. Bloom Energy literally has gotten subsidies from the Biden administration for green energy projects as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. But then in addition to that, there's also been news stories about how Bloom Energy, which is like a hydrogen energy company, has had benefits to its stock price because of the war in the Ukraine, right? Like, because of the Russian war in Ukraine, because what's happening is European nations are moving off Russian natural gas into these other forms of energy. So, Forbes magazine, as well as certain industry trade publications have written about this. In addition to that, there's sensor companies that state in their corporate compliance public statements that they have a financial interest in the outcome of the war, right? Like, so.
And they're passing a $100 billion foreign aid package that Mike Johnson is is pushing through with the help of the Democrats. Incredible. Incredible. Only a couple minutes left here. So are they still trying to oust Mike Johnson at this point, or does it matter now that...
Yes. I don't think that this vote is going to happen. Look, they passed the rule today. They'll pass the bills tomorrow, right? They will have the votes for the bills tomorrow on the floor of the House. But the fact is that I don't think that passing this lowers the temperature at all. I think that we're in a new normal here. We are in a European-style coalition government between establishment Republicans and Democrats where there's a power-sharing agreement, and Mike Johnson and Hakeem Jeffries are co-speakers of the House. This is the idea. So I think that I don't know if Johnson's going to get ousted tomorrow or next week or next month or whenever, but this is a new normal, right? Like, so what's going to happen here is the temperature is going to rise. I've spoken to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is the one leading the charge on a motion to vacate. There are now three members, Thomas Massie and Paul Gosar, have also joined her in that effort, and I expect that number to rise. Whether they succeed on a first go-around or the Democrats protect him is a question to be determined, but the fact is that this new power-sharing agreement is going to come under intense scrutiny, and I think that Republicans would be well-served to remove Mike Johnson and elect an actual Republican as Speaker of the House rather than a power-sharing person.
It's the Weekend with Hammer and Nigel, 93 WIBC.
Crime, punishment, judges, legal stuff.
Okay, the jury selection almost complete in the Trump trial with the non-disclosure agreement. Stormy Daniels, they said he's breaking a bunch of campaign finance laws in order to pay her off. Blah, blah, blah. You know the story. Alvin Bragg, the DA, his predecessor, didn't want anything to do with this. Neither did Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice. They decided to go on with it anyway, even though the statute of limitations has run out a long time ago. And there's just a few alternates needed in Trump's Stormy Daniels, quote, hush money trial.
Now, this judge is trying to be tough with Donald Trump. He's put a gag order on Donald Trump. So how do you think Donald Trump responded to that? By speaking to the media in the hallway of the courtroom a little bit earlier today.
I'm supposed to be in Georgia. I'm supposed to be in North Carolina, South Carolina. I'm supposed to be in a lot of different places campaigning. But I've been here all day on a trial that really is a very unfair trial. And I'm sitting here for days now, from morning till night, in that freezing room. Freezing. Everybody was freezing in there.
I like that's what he's getting. That's what he's complaining about. He's getting railroaded. It's freezing in the courtroom.
Too cold in the courtroom. Here's a little bit more of Donald Trump.
You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess. And you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge. His top people are here working with the DA's office to make sure everything goes right. But it shouldn't go right because they have no case. And that's what this is all about. And it really is a shame. This country is devolving into a third world country between having no borders, having no justice, we have no justice, and having a press that doesn't want to cover the facts. So,
I mean, the judge in this. In this trial, donated to Joe Biden's campaign. He donated to an organization, a progressive organization that was called something along the lines of Stop Republicans. I mean, it's pretty transparent what's going on here. They are trying to stymie Trump's campaign, keep him off the trail. Meanwhile, polls are going up, especially in New York, where I think there's a part of this, to me anyway, where Donald Trump could take advantage of the fact that he is kind of stuck in New York. Goes down to that bodega that the, remember the guy that he killed his attacker, the owner of that bodega killed the attacker, and now Fat Alvin Bragg put him in jail for 2 weeks.
Right.
Before he dropped the charges.
He's doing rallies in New York.
Yeah, I think he's got one in Jersey here coming up pretty soon.
That was unheard of, you know, before the 2020 race, or really the 16 race. I know he would stop and maybe make a speech from time to time, but full-on Trump-style rallies. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know. He feels like New York is in play for him in the presidency. But the other question I have, and this has nothing to do with his legal situation, are they not allowed to have boom microphones in New York? Because every time Donald Trump speaks, it's in a hallway. Nobody seems to have a microphone. It's this echoey sound, and it's like this for everybody. Can a brother get a boom mic? Is that asking too much?
I think it might be.
More legal stuff. An Air Canada employee was one of six people arrested in connection with a gold heist that stole $22 million worth of gold from the Toronto Pearson Airport. Here's a police detective during a press conference talking about how the gold was used to purchase illegal firearms.
This isn't just about gold. This is about how gold becomes guns.
We believe that they've melted down the gold, and then the profits they got from the gold, they used to help finance the firearm, obviously purchasing the illegal firearms.
So this wasn't, you know, a case of like the guy that worked in the Biden administration, that bald, freaky trans dude that was stealing luggage out of airports. This was an organized operation stealing millions of dollars worth of gold bars, melting them down, and then purchasing illegal guns.
Wasn't this the plot of the third Austin Powers movie?
I love gold!
Gold member?
The taste of it, the smell of it, the texture of it.
This is certainly not good news. Potentially thousands of people who tried to dial 911 last night didn't get any success. They were left helpless because there was an outage across four different states, and pretty much the entire state of South Dakota was impacted here. Now listen to this. The emergency call system provider Lumen, L-U-M-E-N, said this was all caused by a third party installing a light pole. So one light pole being installed knocked out 911 service for an entire state and parts of three others, Nige.
I mean, if that can happen just on an accident when some idiot's installing a light pole, imagine what somebody who knows what they're doing can do with the power grid.
That's a great point. And the good news is that we know everybody who's in our country, so we don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, nobody on the terrorist watch list trying to get through the southern border. Sure, nothing like that.
A Lumen spokesperson told ABC News, quote, "Some customers in Nevada, South Dakota, and Nebraska experienced an outage due to a third-party company installing a light pole unrelated to our services." Like, isn't that a problem, though, of like one hillbilly can back over a light pole? 911 service goes out for an entire state?
You would think, yes.
I don't think that's supposed to be the way it is. But it brings us to great moments in 911 history.
Yeah.
This was, I believe, in Florida, where a woman saw somebody doing something in her backyard.
There's a guy out on the street, and he is, like, really screwed up. I don't know if it's, like, basalt or what it is, but he's trying to get into my neighbor's car. He ran up on us. We have children. He's talking about he's God. He's, like, obviously tripping. He's in my neighbor's yard.
His pants are down, or?
Yes, he is trying to a tree.
Great moments in 911 history.
So if you think you're having a bad day, at least you've never had to call 911 on the hood of your car that has been stolen, that's barreling down the highway.
Yes, 911. What's your emergency?
My life is in danger. I'm at the top of my car. Someone's driving.
Oh, man.
It's like something from a movie, right?
That's crazy.
Something Tom Cruise would do in a Mission Impossible movie.
He wouldn't call 911, though. He'd punch through the windshield.
That's true.
Strangle the driver.
Great moments in 911 history. I think this is my favorite of all time, when a certain someone broke into a Pizza Hut.
No.
High point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to earth.
All right. And so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name is Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay. And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else do I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want. We're tired of Judases on this earth. We're going to clean this earth up. So what are you up to?
Man, where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
How'd you get over to the Pizza Hut?
I'm from heaven, sir.
Okay. And did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And you eat a pizza?
Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
Jesus, Mountain Dew guy. A lot of people didn't know that.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, Mountain Dew guy.
I wonder if he had any toppings on his pizza.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com. and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Weekend Show on 93 WIPC.
Dateline, Lawrence County, Indiana. I believe that's south of Bloomington. An Indiana woman facing narcotics charges after she called 911 to report purchasing an inferior batch of meth and said she wanted to file charges against her drug dealer.
Isn't that just the worst? You work hard all week, you save your money, you buy, you know, local meth because you're trying to help the economy, you buy local, and you get a bad batch.
You buy local. Sarah Harris, 34 years old, of Bedford, twice dialed the police emergency number to declare that her meth was not what it was supposed to be and it left her feeling as if she was having a heart attack. She said she snorted a line of the meth and felt, quote, something different when it touched her skin and nostrils.
So to be clear here, she called 911 twice, not because she thought she was having a medical condition, but she was dissatisfied with the meth that she bought.
And she wanted to file charges against her drug dealer. This woman had noted that she and a friend had, quote, smoked a bowl of normal meth before they eventually obtained the abnormal meth that led her to call 911.
Now, this may be a dumb guy question because I have never done meth. Are there levels? Like with beer, you know, there's Miller and there's Miller Lite. Like with meth, is there normal meth and then extreme meth?
I have no idea. I've never been around meth. I've never seen it, but it must, you know, booze and weed ain't got nothing on meth, apparently.
No.
Because people just shovel that crap in their systems and they don't stop until they're dead.
A weed lab doesn't make your trailer explode. The more you know, yeah. Rainbow. Put that on a public service announcement.
Yeah, I don't ever want to be around it. I've been around, let's see, the hardest drug I've ever been around was a little bit of the China, the booger sugar.
Gotcha.
The Coke. Offered it, never did it, no thank you. In fact, I remember when the first time I was offered it, the guy's like, do you party? I go, yeah, I like to party.
I'm having a good time.
No. Do you party?
And he's like nodding his head to you.
I've got my red Solo cup of Miller Lite draft. I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time. This is a good party.
Like, even the hookers are rolling their eyes at this point. God, can we just get out of here? This guy doesn't know what we're talking about.
Oh, and then he showed me the little bag. I'm like, oh, no, thanks.
Oh, cocaine. You guys are talking about cocaine.
You guys are talking about coke? No, I don't party then. No. No, never.
Remember when everybody was very concerned about Caitlin Clark's contract with the Indiana Fever? How little, wink, wink, she was going to make in those first 4 years of her rookie contract in the WNBA.
What was it, like $300,000+
right,
for 4 years?
And listen, the WNBA salary structure has nothing to do with sexism. It's a business model. Their profits substantially lower than the profits of the NBA. The NBA basasically funds the WNBA, so it's not fair to say, why does this guy in the NBA make more than Caitlin Clark? That's not a fair argument, because it's about profit margins of the league.
Maybe it'll change with Caitlin.
Maybe. After she gets in there and people start buying tickets and TV revenue goes up, they can change that collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. Maybe she's the unicorn that can change all this. But I never for 1 minute thought Caitlin Clark was going to be hurting for cash. She's got an endorsement with State Farm. She's got an endorsement with Gatorade. And now this deal with Nike, $20 million.
Hello. Nige.
$20 million. Going to put out a customized shoe. And, you know, they're going to sell a buttload of those things. And her jersey sales have been hot.
Oh, yeah.
They sold out the night that she got drafted. Tim McGraw was in concert here last night. And he goes on stage and he had a Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey on. But the thing is, as much as we're talking about how she's going to do such good things for the city, when you bring up her name right now, people still want to talk about Greg Doyle and his interaction with her at that press conference the other day.
Talking about the Indy Star sports columnist, the opinion writer.
Right.
The ultra woke dude that asked the dumbest, most fanboyish, embarrassing question I've ever seen. It involved him doing the heart sign, which she does to her family, and you do it to me, then we'll just be fine. You know, I don't want to go over it again.
And the way he said the things was creepy.
She hasn't really responded.
No, she knows better. Like, she's like Peyton Manning. She can handle the media. Like, she's had cameras in her face the last couple of years, like, everywhere she's been. Like, when Peyton Manning got drafted by the Colts, this dude was a pro at working with the media. She's the same way.
Sure.
She gets it. She's too classy to respond to the nonsense that Greg Doyle brought to her the other day. But you know who's not? AI Caitlin Clark.
Oh, no.
So, this is not the real Caitlin Clark. This is AI Caitlin Clark.
Oh,
but
no.
This is what I would have loved hearing her say to Greg Doyle the other night.
Hey, Doyle, what the hell is wrong with you? Congrats on making my first press conference here all about you. It will be a cold day in hell before I ever make a heart-shaped signal with my hands toward you. If you are so hell-bent on me doing a hand gesture to you, here's one. It's an extended middle finger, you aging, creepy weirdo. I'm surprised my dad hasn't came over here and beat that stupid goatee off of your smug, creepy face. You're old enough to be my dad, but perverted enough to be featured on Dateline NBC with Chris Hansen. On a creepy scale of 1 to 10, you come in at 14. You are in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Jared from Subway Territory.
Oh.
You're creeping everyone out with your bald head and antics. Why don't you go cheat on your wife again and write another article on it wanting sympathy? Kiss my Iowa ass, you pervert. Caitlin, out.
That is AI Caitlin Clark responding to Greg Doyle the other day. You've been listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show Weekend Show. Follow us on social media at Hammer and Nigel and check out the store, store.hammerandnigel.com.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.